Well, good morning.
Let's try that one more time. You were being friendly like we asked you to do, so I'm going to give you some grace. Let's try that one more time. Good morning. Welcome to Life Point Church. My name is Adam Purcell. I am the teaching pastor here. Really glad that you are here with us. If it's your first time, we're especially glad you're here. If you've been here lots of times, we're also very glad that you are here. You may or may not know, but today is going to be a really, really special day for us. We have a whole bunch of people who have already signed up to go public with their faith by getting baptized today, and we are really excited about that. Hopefully I don't like just weep the whole time. There's like a little mini sermon before we get there, so Let's keep calm a little bit. And we're also, just so you know, I'll tell you again in a minute, if you have not been baptized, but you are a believer and you want to get baptized today, even though you weren't planning on it, that's on the table. We have the stuff you need, so be aware that that invitation is coming. We are in the second week of a series. Nick did a great job kicking us off last week, a series that we're calling Red, White, and You. We're really kind of in this leading up to voting, which everyone's feeling super awesome about. Everyone loves both candidates. It's just so hard to choose because they're both so great. So we're talking about this series called Red, White, and You, and we've been looking at it, and we're going to continue to look at the life of David. And what we are saying every single week is that there's no cheap change. And really, what we're getting at there is, I think to be a U.S. citizen and to every 4 years be reminded that if you're like me, at least you feel a little bit cynical about maybe the political process and those to whom that we elect to lead us. I think a lot of times it's easy for us to kind of get our hearts wrapped up in what our particular favorite political leader says they're going to give to us. And really what they're getting at is, hey, things aren't good, or things aren't as good as they could be, and they promise us change. Sometimes they don't use that word. Sometimes they promise to take us back. Sometimes they promise to take us forward. But the idea is, hey, change, we're going to offer you change. Vote for me, and I'll give you the change that you are desiring. And what we see in the scriptures and what we think to be true is that true, good, biblical, God-honoring change, it doesn't come cheaply, and we don't want to let our hearts get wrapped up into this political process and have our attention directed from King Jesus because he is the best. And so today we're going to be looking at what I think will be a familiar story to most of you, maybe all of you. It's the story of David and Goliath. And so I'm going to pray for us as we get ready to open God's word. Together we'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you want to thumb there in a mobile device, or maybe you have actually one of those book Bibles, those things are super awesome. You probably know where that is if you have a book Bible with you. And the words will be on the screens as well. But let's pray and invite God to be with us and help us study his word well together. Father, thank you so much for the privilege and honor of being here together to worship you through singing to you, through speaking to you, through studying your word. And God, we just confess to you that we need your help. And God, we want your help. God, we ask that you would be here present among us by your Holy Spirit. God, knowing you're everywhere all the time. But God, we want you, especially this morning in this time and this place, to move us to love your son Jesus more than we ever have, to be more obedient to him more than we ever have, and God, to understand your word. Father, I'm so thankful for every single person who is here. Please reveal yourself to us and help us to see how wonderful you are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to start off reading verses 1 through 3. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socah and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. Now, if you were like me, you read those first three verses and you think, okay, and you're confused. So I want to help us out, right? So here's a map of the area that's getting talked about here. And so you've got over here, you've got Bethlehem, which is the city of David and where Christ was born. You've got Gath, which is where Goliath, we're going to learn here in a minute. That's where Goliath is from. If you notice, it says Philistia right there. So that's where the Philistines, that's their territory, right? And so what has happened is the Philistines thought to themselves, you know what? This city right here, Succa, it's Judah's territory, but we kind of like it. We'd like that to be our territory. And so they've decided to muster up an army and go and take that territory for themselves. And so the battle is happening right around here. This is in present-day Israel. And so this kind of gives you a little bit of a frame of reference for where we are in history, right? So from Gath to the battle, that's about 8 miles. From Bethlehem to the battle, that's about 15 miles or so. So we're all good with kind of where we are? Sweet. All right, so jumping ahead in the scriptures, it says, "And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath." And we all are like, boo, we don't like Goliath. Goliath is the bad guy, right? "Whose height was 6 cubits and a span." So he's 9 foot plus. He's massive. And really, when we read this, you need to understand what the author is doing here is he wants us to kind of put ourselves in the shoes of the Israelites and to see Goliath as utterly terrifying. That's what the author is going for here. And so he's, 9 foot six or so. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, which was not unusual. I mean, Israel during this time, they weren't even allowed to have a blacksmith in the country. And so they probably don't even have helmets, right? Except for maybe King Saul, right? And so he has a helmet of bronze on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, about 110, 15 pounds is what he's wearing. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, which I memorized this, and I'm going to say that's like 11, 14 pounds, something like that. My memorization didn't go so well, I guess. And his shield bearer went before him. And so not only is Goliath massive, and he is arrayed in this shiny armor that would have been more and bigger than anything that the Israelites had ever seen, he also has another guy walking in front of him bearing his shield to kind of protect his lower half, right? And so imagine like a giant walking towards you and saying, "I am here to fight you. If anyone is brave enough to fight me as a representative of your army, bring it." And he is huge and terrifying, and he has another guy there just to protect him, kind of his lower half. So if you're feeling, as you imagine yourself in this story, if you're feeling terrified, you're in the right place mentally as we try to read the scriptures together. And so Goliath, next verse, he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down." And we're going to skip a couple of verses here, but the summary of what we're skipping is verse 24. All the men of Israel, every single one of them, grown men who are 20 years or older, who have gone to war, they're terrified. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were much afraid. Goliath is terrifying. And so we skip a few verses, and David has kind of come to the front lines, and it's kind of gotten out that David, this little shepherd boy who's most likely less than 20 years old because he's not at the battle, he's back home tending sheep. And so this little boy comes to the battlefield, and he hears Goliath cursing God, cursing the people of God, and he's thinking, why isn't anyone doing anything about this? And so word gets to Saul that there's this little punk shepherd boy, and he's maybe interested in fighting Goliath. And so David tries on Saul's armor, and this is really, really beautiful imagery there where Saul is giving him kind of the trappings of his sort of kingship, right? He says, "Hey, take my sword and my helmet and my armor," and he puts it on David, and David's too small and just doesn't fit. And this really beautiful symbolism, David, he takes it off. And what's he put on? He puts on shepherd stuff. One, because he's a shepherd, but when you think about who the heroes are in the Old Testament, you've got Abraham, who's a shepherd. You've got Joseph, who's a shepherd. You've got Moses, who is a shepherd. And so David is saying, hey, I'm not going to fight this battle like the world thinks battles need to be fought. I'm a shepherd in Israel, and I am fighting on behalf of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he is the one who's going to win the battle for me. And so this gets us to here where you've got this little shepherd boy in his little shepherd apparel, the little staff, and some five stones that are probably about the size of tennis balls, would have been pretty typical. And you've got the huge, terrifying, battle-trained warrior looking at David approaching him. That's the context here that we've skipped. So verse 43, "And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" Which I think is some pretty top-notch trash talking, apparently, 3,000 years ago. I don't know, but that's kind of what's happening here. "And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. And if you're familiar with the story, you know how the story ends. I mean, Goliath is kind of encumbered by this massive tank armory thing that he's got on his body, and David runs to the battlefield, takes his smooth stone, and he slings it and buries it right into Goliath's temple, and he falls down and he dies, and David cuts off his head. And then the army of Israel sees what's happened, and the Philistine army sees what's happened, and Israel begins to pursue the Philistine army, and they run away. And Israel wins the day. So the question that I want us to think about just for a moment as we think about getting to baptize people and how Jesus and us, how we maybe can fit into this story, the question that I've been thinking about this week and I want you to think on just for a minute is, who's your Goliath? When you think about the thing that terrorizes your life, the big, scary, unbeatable thing that is in your life, your Goliath. What is that? Who, is it a person? Is it a thing? And I think especially in an election season, we can lose sight of what our true Goliath is. And I'm just gonna assert to you that my Goliath and your Goliath, every person ever, our Goliath, is sin. And what you and I want to do when we read this iconic, amazing, incredible story is we want to read ourselves into the role of who? Goliath? Do you view yourself as the bad guy? Probably not. Yeah, I heard someone say it. David. You're like, yeah, I'm like David. Little but mighty. Give me a stone and I'm going to conquer those giants in my life. And yay, and that's what we can tend to think. And if you think that, man, you're so missing the point and you're missing the beauty of what the story is trying to say. Because the battle wasn't David's to win, the battle was God's to win. And your Goliath and my Goliath, it is our sin. I have sin, you have sin, everyone has sin, and that sin is arrayed in an armor that we can never defeat. And we're like the Israelite camp, and whether we realize it or not, we are helpless and terrified to do anything about our sin, which is what makes the gospel so extraordinarily beautiful. God sends his son, Jesus the Christ, to live perfectly, to be arrested, tortured, and then executed on a cross. And he is our David. He is our stone. He is our stick. He is our good shepherd. He is the one who defeats our Goliath for us. He destroys sin. He conquers death by walking out of his tomb on the third day, and he invites every single person in the world to trust him. And if you have trusted God's son, Jesus the Christ, to forgive you of all of your sin, then your Goliath is dead. Your Goliath was your sin, and your Goliath is dead. And that is such extraordinary, amazing, beautiful news. And like the story, right? So we're kind of in the Israelite camp. Now that Goliath is dead, we can begin to stop living in fear about what our sin does to us, and we can begin to pursue living like Christ and sharing Christ with the world. And so now that I've told you what I think your Goliath is, the second question for you is he dead for you? Because I can say to you in truth, that through trusting Christ, not because I'm special, but because I've trusted Jesus, my Goliath, the sin in my life, it's dead. And that's really good news. And the people we're going to see get baptized here in just a few moments, kind of what they're saying to us, they're saying through what Christ has done for me, through his shed blood, my Goliath, my sin, it has been crucified with Christ. It is dead, and I am free now to live for God forever. Are they saying that they're going to do that perfectly? No. I'm not saying that. They're not saying that. All they're saying is, Goliath is dead. My Goliath, my sin, dead, nailed to the cross because I have trusted Jesus. So is your Goliath dead? Have you trusted God's Son, Jesus the Christ, to wipe away your sin, kill your sin, forgive you of everything sinful that you have ever done? Is it dead? And if not, why do you want to live like that? Giant bronze armored thing terrorizing your life. Why do you want to live like that? And so the invitation for you is the invitation that's there for everybody. Trust Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. Ask him to save you. Thank him for his death and resurrection on the cross. And then maybe someday, maybe even today, go public. And publicly show that you've been united with Christ. You go under the water, symbolizing that your old self has died. And you come back out of the water, and that symbolizes that you are now walking in a new way. Your sin is dead, Goliath is dead, and you get to walk with Christ forever and ever. In case you don't know, who should get baptized? Anyone who has called upon the name of the Lord for salvation. So you would say, yes, I confess Jesus Christ as Savior and King. He has saved me. So if that's you, then you've checked off step one for, can I be baptized? The second thing that we're going to ask you if you want to get baptized is, have you already been baptized after you became a Christian? And if you would say, yes, I trust Jesus Christ for my salvation, the way that I'm saying it today, my Goliath is dead. If you can say that, and if you can also say, no, I have not been baptized by immersion since becoming a believer, we think you should get baptized. And you're invited to get baptized today, if that is you. And we've got a bunch of people already signed up, and we hope that some of you who weren't planning on getting baptized this morning decide, you know what? It's time. I trust Jesus, and I've not been baptized by immersion yet. And so if that's you, school age room is right up here. There are going to be people there to greet you. We've got all the things that you would need to get baptized today, right now. So having said all of that, so excited for this morning, so excited that my Goliath is dead, and I've talked with a lot of you, and your Goliath is dead. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing what God does for sinners like me and you? So let's pray together, please. Father in heaven, God, I'm just so thankful and overwhelmed by your grace this morning. God, thank you that you love the world, you love every single person in this room. God, you love me, and you love us so much that you weren't willing to let us die in our sin. But Father, you made a way by sending your Son, Jesus the Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin by his death and to conquer death by his resurrection and allowing us to trust him for salvation. So Father, I ask that you would, for those of us who are already Christians, God, just remind us in a new and fresh way of how wonderful that news is, God, that you love us, that you forgive us, because, Father, you're so very good. And, Father, I ask for the people who are here and they haven't yet got baptized, but they should. God, I pray that some of them will get baptized this morning, even if they weren't planning on it. And Father, finally, for those who are here and they're not Christians, God, we're glad they're here. We think you're glad they're here. God, I ask that you would reveal yourself to them and show them how beautiful you are, how extraordinary the offer is that you're extending to them through Jesus, that they simply need to trust you and find salvation in you. God, we love you. Help us to do it better. Help us to rely on the grace of Jesus Christ all day, every day. We pray this in his holy name. Amen.